Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Thanks for joining us on the Authentic Church Podcast. Let's jump right into this week's message.
I want to say thank you to everybody that's watching online today. Go ahead and do me a favor. Make sure to drop a comment down below because we'd love to see where you're watching from. And if you're new online, make sure to click that link because it will help us get connected with you. And listen, if you are new in the house of the Lord today, I want to say thank you so much for joining us. Now, if you're new here today, you're going to see that something's a little bit different, and don't be scared about this, okay? Usually I am here live in person, but I had the incredible opportunity to go preach in California today at E2 Church with my good friend, Pastor Jared, and I'm just so thankful that they're bringing me out there. But at the same time, God has given me a word for Authentic Church, and this is going to be a brand new word for you. So don't just check out. So do me a favor, go ahead and look to somebody next to you and tell them good morning. And crew, go ahead and do the same thing. We got the crew here today. And the only difference between today and Sunday for you watching at this very moment is they got hamburgers and hot dogs. I'm just letting you know. Okay, so if you want to join the crew, you get to eat a little bit before you listen to me preach. Usually you're like, Pastor, hurry up. So I go eat. So it's a little bit different. But I want to thank you all for joining us today. And today we start a brand new series titled Scars and Band-Aids. And some of you are like, amen. I don't know what that means, but it sounds pretty good. It's something I can relate to. And the reason why is a while back, I was preaching and the Lord just placed on my heart. I was speaking about how a lot of us have gone through some damaged relationships in the past. We've had some hurtful relationships. And instead of allowing our heart to heal with the Lord, what have we done? Usually we just slap a Band-Aid on it. And then we jump into another relationship. That doesn't go well. We slap a Band-Aid on it. We get into another relationship. That doesn't go well. We slap a Band-Aid on it. And so our heart is all jacked up. Like our heart is all messed up. It is scarred. It is bruised. We see damages upon our own heart. And the thing about a Band-Aid, before you put a Band-Aid on a wound, what are you supposed to do with the wound? You're supposed to clean it. Why aren't you cleaning out your heart? Why aren't you allowing God to heal you at this very moment? Why is it that you just jump into the next toxic relationship because you don't like a season of loneliness? And I'm not just talking about romantic relationships. Sometimes it's friendships. For some of us, we've had the wrong friendships in our life, and we know that they gossip too much, and so we're ready to get away from them, and we said we're going to spend time with the Lord. But all of a sudden, you see somebody else, and they're gossiping too, so you just kind of jump right in. And it's the same destructive patterns in our life, and so we're just putting Band-Aids on things, and then eventually, and we're going to get through in this throughout the series, but some of us have some deep scars. Like somebody you trusted that said that they would never hurt you, left you, damaged you. And now that scar is there. And the thing about scars, you can't just hide them, can you? Everybody sees them, but you try to hide them. And then when a wound is infected, you put a Band-Aid on it, guess what? You can't breathe. It doesn't breathe. And a lot of us are feeling that way right now within our own relationships. I can't breathe. I don't know who to trust. I don't know what is for me. And I realize, see, here's the problem. This has been such a burden on my heart because growing up, I don't think, or at least I don't remember ever hearing the church talk about healthy relationships, godly relationships. And guess what? If you don't learn about relationships from the Bible, guess where you're going to go? You're going to go to the world. To what everybody else is doing. You got that one friend giving you advice on how to have a good relationship who's on his fourth relationship at this very moment. And he's not even being faithful. And so you're going to listen to somebody like that instead of the word of God. But the Bible gives us so many revelations on how to have a good relationship, on how to have a good marriage, on how to have good friendships, but ultimately how to be healed from the past wounds. And it's time to move forward in that. Did you know that the Bible states we should be cautious about the relationships we establish? The Bible states that we are to guard our heart. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, one of my favorite verses. Guard your heart above all else. Why? Why? because it will determine the rest of your life. Meaning if you don't guard your heart and you just allow everything into your heart, guess what? That determines the rest of your life. What's going to happen in your life for the future? Who you choose today is who you choose to spend the rest of your life with. And some of y'all are just playing around. Too many people today are just playing around like, well, I just want to just meet people and be in relationships and I'm not really caring. I'm not really serious. But what happens when you think you fell in love? And now this person doesn't love the Lord and they're leading you down a very destructive path. You're going down that path with this person because you're not taking the time to do what? To guard your heart. And we see this. And the Bible kind of makes it clear on this. I want to show you what I mean. The Bible states that you need to choose a partner that you can go to war with. And I've said that before, and some people said, where's that verse? I like that. I can't find that verse. And really, it's more of a concept. Because the Bible tells us what? That every single day we do fight a war. What does that war look like? It is a spiritual war. Every day we fight a spiritual fight. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For our fight is not against people on earth, but we're fighting against the rulers and the authorities and the powers of this world's darkness. We are fighting against the spiritual powers of evil and the heavenly places, which means you need to choose someone who prays with you. You need to choose somebody who will worship with you, like in the middle of your house. If everything's going wrong, you've had a bad day, turn on that worship music. Let's jump around. Let me just praise Jesus. I've had a bad day. I want to punch my boss in the face, But now I want to praise Jesus, and the atmosphere starts to change. You need to choose a partner. But some of us have chosen a partner who's like, don't talk to me about Jesus. I don't want to pray today. I don't want to hear that, right? Don't tell me to read the Bible today. I just don't want that. And so what happens is, and the Bible's very clear. Listen, you need to choose a partner to go to war with because you may accidentally choose somebody you go to war at. Instead, listen to this, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, and this is the Message translation, but I like how it's worded. Don't become partners with those who reject God. How can you make a partnership out of right and wrong? That's not partnership. What is it? It's war. Some of you have chosen people to be in your life to lead you that you're just going to war at every single day. You yell at each other. Every single day, you're mad at something. They're griping about something. They're speaking negativity over your life, over your family, because you're not guarding your mouth. It is very, very important to be careful over the relationships that you establish. And the Bible also gives us another theme. Here's the other theme, that attractions can also become distractions. Satan shows up to Eve, says, look at the fruit. Doesn't it look good? And he says to her, hey, why don't you go ahead and eat that fruit? And she says, no. God said, if I eat it, I'll die. And he said, no, God won't let you die. But God knows that if you eat of it, you will become just like God. Meaning you can rule your own life. Be free. Isn't it funny that she thought she was going to become free when she ate the fruit, but she actually put herself in chains and bondage after that, because then sin came into the world and everything started to fall apart and the relationship between Adam and Eve started to crumble from the very beginning because now they hid from each other. They were covered with shame. They had shame in their lives and so they covered themselves because they no longer could be vulnerable with each other. Are you in a relationship like that right now? Where you can't be vulnerable with each other and share what's really on your heart, what's going on in your life, because the temptation is you could tell somebody else. You can go to somebody else and have those conversations. Attractions can be distractions. And at the same time, when I say that, because I hear this all the time, I have conversations with people and they're like, but Pastor, she is beautiful. Like, you just don't understand. Like, she is beautiful. She walks in the room and I'm like mouth just dropping. Or Pastor, you don't understand. He gives me the butterflies, right? Listen, chill out and take a Pepto and wait on the Lord. Because God will make it clear. God will show you the red flags, by the way. God brings clarity into your life. The problem is when we think we are in love, we rush it very, very quickly. We jump into things. I also want to share this with you. Just because your heart wants it doesn't mean it's right for you. But we live in a culture today that tells you, well, your feelings should lead you. Well, your feelings can lead you straight to hell. And that's the truth. And so we need God's word and we need the Holy Spirit in our life to lead us away from the things that actually can damage our relationships. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, for the human heart is the most deceitful of all things. Now, listen to the wording of that. Your heart, the way you feel, can deceive you, can turn you away from the path that God actually has for your life. And not only that, but it can be desperately wicked. Why is it wicked? Because we're selfish by nature. We're selfish by nature. We're always looking out for ourselves. What can I get out of this? What can I get out of this relationship? What can I get for me? It's desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? God does. Remember last week, I told you when Jesus comes back in his second coming, it says that he has eyes of fire. You know what that means? It's that he can see right through you. He can see into your heart. He can see into your life. He can see when you're pretending. And other people have fallen for your deception. But God already knows. He always knows. But here's the good news. And here's what I want to share with you today. Guess what? God can give you a new heart. Did you know that? God can give you a new heart and a heart that is sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is actually speaking. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. God is speaking to his people here and he said, I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and I will give you a tender, responsive heart. Listen to the wording again. The Bible was so good. You're stony. Stubborn heart. How many of you can relate to that? How many of y'all, God tells you something, you're like, no. I don't want to love them. I don't want to pray for them. I'm tired. You know what I mean? It's easy. It's easy to get that way. There's some days, I got to be honest with you, even as a pastor, I'm like, all right, God, I can't see people today. I need rest. I gotta check out. And sometimes the Lord brings people into my life and I could tell that conversation's from the Lord. And it was meant to be. It was meant to be. In fact, I gotta share this with you because right now I'm preaching to the crew at the same time I'm preaching on Sunday here at Authentic Church. And recently I had this dream and over again, I heard this word from the Lord. And I knew it was from the Lord. God said, I'm doing things in two places at once. Over and over again. I'm doing two things at once. I just kept hearing it over and over again. I woke up from the dream. And you know, and I always suggest, write it down. And I could tell God put it on my heart, write it down. Guess what I did? I fell asleep. I didn't write it down. And so when I went back to sleep, I kept hearing it again. I'm doing two things at once right now. Write it down. And I woke up again and I wrote it down. I think there's something special happening right now. God is doing two things at once. And you may never know what that is at the moment, but God is always working behind the scenes. And so he brings clarity into your life. And if God is gonna give you a new heart, which he has, okay? So when you give your life to Christ, you make him your Lord and Savior. Guess what? His Holy Spirit fills you. His Holy Spirit leads you. And the Bible says that now you are a new creation. If you're a new creation, why do you still keep the old bad relationship habits? See, that's gotta change too. And it may be the way you used to talk or the relationships that you used to pursue. These things must change. And so the title of today's message is this: we need to let it heal. Scars and band-aids, it's time to let it heal. And if there's one person out of the Bible that we can learn from his mistakes, I believe it's Samson. When it comes to bad relationship habits and patterns, and when you think of Samson, who else do you think of? Delilah. And Delilah's got a bad rep. And she should, because she caused the downfall of Samson. But what if I told you that Samson's downfall did not start with Delilah? It actually started a long time ago. And the little choices that Samson had in his life, the little choices that he didn't think was a very big deal, became a very big deal. He was already living a destructive life in private. And then it became more public. Until it transferred into another relationship that ultimately led to a tragic, tragic ending. Yet God's purpose was still fulfilled in that. There's a lot that we can learn from Samson, and maybe you can relate to this, because Samson's problem was this: he never stopped loving what did not love him back. Some of us know how that feels. We chase the things that don't love us back. You're chasing the idols of the world. Those idols of the world are never gonna love you back. Those things that you think would bring you success and happiness, those things don't love you back. Or maybe there's a relationship right now that God is saying, hey, you need to walk away from this, but I love this person. But they don't love you back. And we just get stubborn and we don't listen to the Holy Spirit, and it can cause a downfall. And that's what I want to see today, because as you read the story of Samson, you would think like Samson would just get it over time. Like he made one mistake after another. And so you would think, okay, all right, Samson, you're going to get it in this relationship. No. Okay, that's a pretty dumb decision right there. And then the next relationship, no, Samson. You're like, you're not learning anything. And then it just gets worse and worse. Because here's the truth too. Lust can make you dumb. Lust can make you dumb. Sin will blind you to the reality that's around you. I have counseled so many relationships. Marriages that have fallen apart, and they're like, my partner, my love has changed. They don't make the same decisions anymore, and it's like nothing matters. They're not the same person. Why? Because lust comes in through an open door, consumes them, and makes them blind, makes them dumb. They don't see the consequences of their actions anymore or who they're hurting. They're just wanting the lust. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who do not believe, for they are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. The Bible is stating that sin, especially lust, blinds the unbeliever. But guess what? You can open up that door too. And you can allow a spirit of lust to consume you and blind you. And you can start to make the wrong decisions. But God continues to show up in our life. Amen. God continues to call your name and says, come back to me. You're going a bad path. It's time to turn around and see something better. So here's what I want to do. I want to break down what we can learn from Samson to change our relationship patterns. Point number one, you're probably not going to like this. But point number one is this: certain things are not for you. Certain things are not for you. Let's have some fun with this. Look to somebody next to you and just tell them no. No, like you know what's going on in their life. Just no, like I don't know what you're doing, but no. We like that. That's fun. It's fun telling other people no. Now tell yourself no. And some of y'all are like, no, Pastor, I'm not doing that. You can't tell me nothing. I'll tell somebody else, right? Because we don't like to hear. Listen, we don't like to hear, this is not for you. We don't like that. And that's why a lot of people don't want to read the Bible either, because the Bible's going to tell them what their flesh wants. It's not always the best thing for them. Okay? And so we see out of the Bible that God is telling us, and he's actually protecting us from the things that want to hurt us. But what do? In the moment, we start to complain to God. God, you just want me to be single for the rest of my life? God, you just want me to be in these type of relationships for the rest of my life? I can't have fun like everyone else. You ever heard that? You ever believed it? At some point you did. And at some point, the devil convinced you that your way was better than God's way. And a lot of us have been damaged because of it. Listen, I want to remind you that our God that we serve, Yahweh, he is a good father. And everything that he speaks over your life is to protect you and to save you. Because the truth is, your desires can steal the life out of your soul. Your desires, your heart's desires, what the world says, hey, live for your heart's desires, can actually steal life out of your soul. James chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and then drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, you get married and find the love of your life. No? But that's what the world says. Have fun. Then you find somebody and do whatever you want. No. When sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. And that means death to your soul, and also death to the healthy relationships you were meant to have. Because look again at the verse here. You desire these things, and it entices you, and it drags you away. I've seen too many people dragged away from their family. I've seen too many people dragged away from their own children. Too many people dragged away from the presence of God. Why? Because they're following this spirit of lust, this Jezebel spirit. Remember, when Jezebel was about to be killed in the Old Testament, she tried to seduce the man that came to kill her. But she still died. And that's what's going to happen in your life too. Every time you try to cast out these demons in your life, guess what? They're going to try to seduce you. Don't give in to those things. Keep rebuking them. But let's talk about Samson here. Okay, so who is Samson? Samson is a miracle child chosen by God. And he had a purpose on his life. The purpose over his life was to rescue the Israelites from the oppression of the Philistines, the Phoenician people, okay? Because they were oppressing the Israelites for 40 years. But how did we get to this point? How did they get to this point of bondage when they should have been free from their enemy, when they should have lived a victorious life over their enemy? How are they in bondage? Here's why. Because the Bible tells us that they were living life however they wanted to. They had the freedom to do whatever they wanted to. So they thought, okay, if this is right for me, this is what I go after. Listen, every time you believe your feelings can lead the way, it always leads to evil. It always leads to corruption and selfishness. Listen to this. Judges chapter 13, verse 1. Again, the Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight. They went their own way. They didn't listen to God. They didn't listen to his word. They started to worship the idols, rebel against God. So the Lord says, all right, you want to live like the Philistines? I'll hand you over to the Philistines. You want to live like the world? I'll hand you over to the world. But the grace of God is amazing because he's always got his arms open. All you have to do is run back to him. But it says that they were oppressed by the Philistines for 40 years. And then we see Samson's mother, and she was not able to have children until someone very special showed up. Who showed up? I want to show you this because it may surprise you. Judges chapter 13, verses 2 and 3. In those days, a man named Manoah from the tribe of Dan lived in the town of Zara. His wife was unable to become pregnant and they had no children. But then we see the angel of the Lord appeared to Manoah's wife and said, even though you've been unable to have children, you will soon become pregnant and give birth to a son. I want to make it very clear, in the Old Testament, every time you see an angel of the Lord, it's referencing Jesus Christ. Many scholars, many commentators believe that every time you see an angel of the Lord, it's referencing Jesus Christ showing up. Now, Jesus is not an angel. Jesus is the Son of God, but this is how he's referenced in the Old Testament. The difference is you'll see an angel a lot of times in the Old Testament talking about an actual angel. Maybe it's Gabriel, maybe it's Michael, but an angel of the Lord is always mentioning Jesus Christ, and I'm gonna show you how we know this, okay? Listen to what he said his name was. In Judges chapter 13, verse 18, it says this, and the angel of the Lord said to him, okay, so said to Manoah, why do you ask my name, seeing that it's wonderful? Notice the wording there. Manoah's asking him, what is your name? We want to worship you. What instructions should I have? You're telling me I'm gonna have a son. He's been called. There's a purpose for his life. Tell me what to do. That's what Manoah is saying to him. But he asked his name and he says, why do you ask my name? Seeing it is wonderful. Now listen to this prophecy about Jesus. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders and he will be called wonderful. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And so Jesus is very wonderful. And so when he shows up, what's amazing to me is that, you know, we see out of the New Testament that Jesus would meet people in the midst of their pain. He would meet people in the middle of their problems when they were abandoned by other people, when everybody looked at them like they were filthy and worthless. Jesus would go up to them and he would heal them and show them the love of God. Guess what? He did it in the Old Testament too. Because here's a woman that is barren and she's been praying for a child, and it's Jesus that shows up to her in her situation and says, I'm gonna heal you. Not only am I going to heal you, but you're going to have a child and you're going to be blessed and there's a purpose for his life. So then this makes me laugh in the story. She then goes and tells her husband and she tells him, listen, this man came to me and the way she describes him is that he is wonderful. Listen to this, Judges 13, verse 6. Then the woman went and told her husband, saying, a man of God came to me, and his appearance was like the appearance of an angel of God. Very awesome. I did not ask him where he came from, though. He didn't tell me his name either. Now, as a husband, I'd be like, what wonderful man just came up to you? You don't know his name. You don't know anything, but he just came up to you. He looks like an angel talking to you. You know what Manoah did? He believed her. Okay, that describes right there a very healthy relationship. He believed her words. He trusted her. And so then he prayed, Lord, can I please see this man? And you know what I love about this story? From the very beginning, Jesus met them again. Jesus comes back. Jesus is not afraid to meet you over and over and over and over again to bring clarity into your life. That means sometimes we don't get it right away. It's okay. Keep asking him, keep reaching him. But a lot of times, the problem is we stop meeting with Jesus. We stop, we start asking other people instead, or we just no longer ask him. Listen to this. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep knocking and the door will be open for you. For everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be open. And I believe some of you may feel lonely right now. You may feel lost right now because at some point in your life, you stop meeting with Jesus. You stop listening to his word and looking for him. And very quickly, everything can change when you do this. And here's what breaks my heart. See, a lot of people, they come into the church and they're like, yes, I love God. I love Jesus. And I'm just praying over that relationship. And then they finally get the relationship and they should shout hallelujah. But they leave because they got what they wanted. Or at least they think they got what they wanted. And so here's my warning. Out of love, the relationship will become nothing if you don't both keep meeting with Jesus. Because I was explaining this the other week, and I was talking to this couple, and I said, do you know what the real definition of marriage is? And they were saying all the good answers, like love, being there for somebody, friendship. I'm like, yeah, that's great. Okay, what's the real meaning of marriage? It actually means dying to yourself. It means dying to yourself. It means putting someone else first. Showing them that you love them so much that you would give up some things for them, that you would be able to put them first. And then when you have children, we really know what it means to die to yourself. Like, where is the remote? Who took the remote again? Oh, he's stealing the TV, you know? So many of us, we stop meeting with Jesus. And so this is what's so interesting about the story here. Jesus meets them. He brings clarity into the situation, and then he reveals something to Samson's mother. He reveals that Samson needs to say no to some things in his life. He reveals that Samson needs to say no to some of the things that are going to come as a temptation into his life. Judges chapter 13, verse 5. He said, you will become pregnant and give birth to a son, but his hair must never be cut, for he will be dedicated to God as a Nazarite from birth. And he will begin to rescue Israel from the Philistines. Now, this is called a Nazarite vow, according to Numbers chapter 6, okay? A Nazarite made vows of commitment to be set apart and devoted to God. But they made what? They made a vow to God. And these vows insisted that they should not drink alcohol, they can never touch a dead body, and they cannot cut their hair. And I think for a lot of us, we read this and we're like, come on, God. Not one drink? Not a little fade? I can't get a fade? Like, what's the point? You ever read it? Like, what's the point of something like that? Sometimes in the moment, it doesn't make sense what God is telling you to do. Sometimes it seems a little crazy to act different from everybody else. But see, the point was God was setting boundaries because God knew what sin would soon come after Samson's heart and what would take him away from the presence of God. Without a commitment, listen, to godly boundaries, this means that you let every demonic spirit into your heart and life. You let everyone come into your life and break your heart. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28, a person without self-control is like a house with its doors and windows knocked out. Meaning you're allowing everybody to come into your heart. Everything that you see, everything that you feel in the moment, it's coming in, it's coming in. Your doors are open, your windows are open, and everyone, including demonic spirits, are taking advantage of your heart. And it starts to change you. See, Samson kept loving, listen, he kept loving what he was called to defeat. Notice that about the character of Samson. And he did this way before Delilah. And that was the problem. Judges 14, verses 1 through 3. One day when Samson was in Timnah, one of the Philistine women caught his eye. When he returned home, he told his father and mother, a young Philistine woman in Timnah caught my eye. I want to marry her. Go get her for me. Thank you. Good talk. You know, like his father and mother objected. Isn't there even one woman in our tribe or among all the Israelites you could marry? They asked. Why must you go to this pagan Philistine to find a wife? Why would they say it in such a way? Because they didn't believe in God. They didn't have a relationship with Yahweh. The Philistines worshiped idols. The Philistines performed child sacrifices. The Philistines indulged in sexual relationships. So all the red flags were waving. But Samson replies, he didn't want to listen to their advice. He didn't want to listen to what God had already spoken into his life. He just said, go get her for me. Why? What's the reason, Samson? She looks good. It's comical and sad at the same time. Because a lot of us live in the same way. It looks good. She looks good. He looks good. And you know it's not for you. Yet you still pursue it anyway. Samson knew what was right, but he just didn't want to listen to anybody. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 3 and 4. It was very clear. For the Jewish people, you must not intermarry with them. Do not let your daughters and sons marry their sons and daughters, for they will lead your children away from me to worship other gods. Listen to the wording there. Because I hear it all the time. Well, what if I get into a relationship and they're such a good person and I can convert them to Christianity? That rarely works. That rarely works. And then what if that person only pretends or comes to Jesus just for you for a moment, but 5 years down the road, they no longer care to impress you anymore? See, people say that all the time, and I get it, and it sounds noble, but where do you find that in the Bible? Right? Joseph didn't try to convert Potiphar's wife. The Bible actually says that he ran from her. Oh, you want me? Okay. No. Can't touch this. You know, like, sorry. He didn't want to listen. And so he loved what he was called to defeat instead. And maybe you feel exactly the same way. You're loving what you were called to defeat. You're called to defeat lust, but your flesh loves it in the moment. You're called to defeat pride, but you like how it feels. You're called to defeat the addiction, but the addiction looks good to the eye. When you surround yourself with those people and that environment, why are you there? If God has changed you, if God has made you new, if you are a new creation, why are you going back to old environments you are to stay away from? It's damaging. A lot of us are just playing with the line here. How close can I get until I fall? And you're playing with fire. And eventually everything starts to burn. You can't contain it anymore. But the problem is you're also going to see the people you love burn and hurt as well because of your decisions to walk away. Meaning what you look at determines the direction of your life. What you see all the time determines the course of your life. You are called, and we are called as believers in Christ, to guard our eyes. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, but I say, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And I get it. Like in the culture that we live in today, you're not even trying to find it, and it's everywhere. So maybe just look down, you know, all the time. But turn away. Turn away. It's the second glance. It's the third glance. It's the fourth glance that starts to get you in trouble. Because if you're glancing that many times, guess what? You're starting to walk too. And you're heading towards that direction. I need you to understand, like it's crucial. It was crucial for Samuel to protect the Israelites from the Philistines. He was called by God to bring freedom into their life. So the devil tries to convince you to love what will always keep you bound. Samson broke his vows to God. Did you know that about the story of Samson? Everything that God told him not to do, guess what? He broke them. He broke every vow. And I'm here to tell you today, you break your vows, you live a broken life. Broken vows will always lead to a broken life. You break your vows with God, a broken life. You break your vows in marriage, a broken life. Keep your commitments. Real love is committed. Commitment. It's being committed to somebody. Saying that even through the bad times, I'm here. Through the hard times, I'm still here. I'm not leaving you. Even when it's rough and we don't understand and we're financially struggling, we're going to praise Jesus together. And we're going to be honest. And that is a healthy, deep relationship, and we're going to get more into that over the next few weeks as we keep going on. But point number two, I want you to see another mistake that Samson made. Now, this one's very big. Listen here. Private decisions can have major public consequences. Private decisions, when no one is looking. Listen, God is looking. It always makes me laugh, like, especially in the gym. You know, guys will talk a certain way in the gym, and they'll cuss a lot until they see me. And they're like, oh, pastor's here, be quiet for a second. And they say this and they joke around like, oh, you're here, I can't say anything. I'm like, it's okay, God sees you. It don't matter what I think, I'm leaving, but God is still here. You know, God is everywhere. He sees what you're doing. It doesn't matter what I think, right? And so we see this in our own life as well. But private decisions can have major public consequences. Let me say it like this. It's the little things, the little vows broken, the little lies, the little temptations that we keep allowing into our life eventually are going to lead to big, big problems because it grows. Remember, sin grows. See, we think it's just so small. The devil's like, it's just a little thing, just a little lie. Just a little temptation, just steal that, just nobody's gonna know. And then you take it and you keep doing more and more and more. And then the Bible says it starts to grow and it becomes deadly. Deadly, a big problem. And so in a secret place, Samson breaks another vow. Judges chapter 14, verse 5. As Samson and his parents were going down to Timnah, why was he going this direction? To be with a girl that was not for him. Please see that. He's not listening to God. He wants what he wants. He knows this girl is not for him, so he goes this direction anyway because he wants to be with her. And then a young lion suddenly attacks Samson near the vineyards of Timnah. So here's the revelation. God showed me this, and I was like, wow. Samson was heading in the wrong direction, pursuing the wrong relationship, in a vineyard near wine. Again, he's not supposed to drink alcohol. Most commentators believe he also broke this vow as well because of the wedding parties that he had that didn't even happen. Everything's wrong. the direction, the relationship, what he wants. Do you see it? This is when the lion attacks. This is when the lion comes out. Sound familiar? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Listen to the wording here. Stay alert. Watch out for the great enemy, the devil. For he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And guess what? He wants to lead you down the wrong path when you're alone, going after the wrong decisions, after the wrong relationships. And that's when the lion comes into your life trying to attack you. Because you're very vulnerable when you walk away from God. If you leave God, you leave God's protection. Every step away from the Lord is a step down. Every single time. The lion attacks. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 12 also states it like this. Sensible people will see trouble coming and avoid it. But an unthinking person will walk right into it. And listen to the wording here. Will regret it later. So pay attention here. Judges chapter 14, verse 6. God shows up. And I want you to see the mercy of God. God shows up even in the hardest of situations to protect Samson because Samson still has a purpose to fulfill. But please, please don't be misled to think that God's grace is his permission to sin. Okay? Just because consequences haven't come yet doesn't mean they won't. The grace that you're receiving right now is giving you time to repent and run back to the Lord. But he didn't want to listen. And so the moment of the Spirit of the Lord came upon him powerfully, it says, God still showed up and rescued him. The Holy Spirit always gives us power over death if we listen. And he ripped the lion's jaws apart with his bare hands. And he did it as easily as if it were a young goat. So I guess that's easy. I don't know. Not ripping apart goats. But he didn't tell his father or his mother. It was secret. Because let's look at this. Verse 8, when he returned to Timnah for the wedding, it says that he turned off the path. This is a common theme of hurtful relationships. He turned off the path that God was leading him on to look at the carcass of the lion somewhere he should not be at because according to the Nazarite vow, he can't touch a dead body, but he went that way anyway. He found the swarm of bees that had made some honey in the carcass. So he scooped some of the honey into his hands and he ate it along the way. Do you see the arrogance here? He's like, I got away with it. What's it matter? I wrestled this lion. Where did his strength come from? The Lord showed him. It was the Holy Spirit every single time. The Holy Spirit is the one that gave him great strength, that gave him great power. But he starts to think it's him. And he takes it for advantage and he grabs the honey. He touches the dead body. But not only that, he also gave some to his father and his mother and they ate it. But he did not tell them where he had taken the honey from. He didn't let them know that he got it from the carcass of a dead lion. Why? Again, Numbers chapter 6, verse 6. Here's the Nazarite vow. And they must not go near a dead body during the entire period of their vow to the Lord. Samson broke a vow thinking it was small, thinking it was no big deal. But eventually, his small decisions led to his first tragedy. And I'm going to summarize this, but in Judges chapter 14 through 15, there's a wedding party that's taking place. He places a bet with 30 Philistine men, and it gets a little weird here. He tells them to solve a riddle. And the riddle is not so much him playing a game, but him confessing his sin. He never confessed it to God. So he's telling them what he did with the lion. And it's all about the lion and the honey. But he tells these 30 Philistine men about this riddle. And he says, listen, if you can tell me the answer, then I'm going to give you 30 linen cloths. But if you can't tell me the answer, then you will give me linen cloths in return. But here's what happened. Those men got a hold of his future wife. And they scared her. And they said, listen, we're going to kill you. We're going to kill your father if you don't tell us the answer. So then they tell the answer to Samson. And he gets mad. He takes revenge. And he kills 30 Philistines. Gets the gift. Brings it back to those men. Just to find out, listen to this. When he came back, he found out that his wife, the woman he was supposed to marry, was already in another man's arms. Judges chapter 14, verse 20. So his wife was given in marriage to the man who had been Samson's, listen to this, best man at the wedding. The woman that he was supposed to marry is now being married to his best man at the wedding. Listen, the Bible is better than your soap operas, okay? Why did this happen? Here's why. Judges chapter 15, verse 2. Her father told him, I thought you must hate her. So I gave her into marriage to your best friend. And then Samson takes more revenge on the Philistines. He takes out his anger. Why? Because hurt people if they're not healed over it. So he comes after them, but yet God still called him to take down the Philistines. But now he's entangled with relationships he wasn't supposed to have. And so when he takes out the Philistines, he comes back. Guess what he finds out? The woman that he did love, she was burned to death. His supposed to be future father-in-law was burned to death because of his selfish actions. So let me say it like this. When you break your vows, you're not the only one who gets burned. You're not the only one who gets burned from your consequences. From what you're doing in your marriage, in your relationships, over your family right now. But my last point is this. Point number three. Samson had great power, but he had poor character. Samson had great power, but he had poor character. Samson was used to Band-Aids in his life. He didn't want to change his ways. We would think that Samson would learn a lesson. He rebelled against God. He went after the wrong relationship, and now she's dead and he's hurt. He puts a Band-Aid on it, and the Bible tells us that he goes to a prostitute. That's the very next relationship that he has. And then after the prostitute, guess what he does? He doesn't repent. He doesn't go to God. He goes to Delilah. And eventually, Delilah causes his downfall. She figures out his secret. She cuts his hair. She made him a prisoner to the Philistines, and they also blinded him. But I do want to reveal this. In the end, the purpose of God was still fulfilled. His strength came back, and he was able to kill all the Philistines in one setting. But he tragically died with them. What I want you to see in this message, though, is that it wasn't supposed to be that way. Samson was called to take down the Philistines. He rebelled against God and did not repent until the very end. And tragically, he lost his life with the same Philistines he was called to take down. And I know it's hard to see, but at the same time, we see others out of the Bible that were listening to the Lord, like Joseph. Again, Joseph, in every test that he was in, he listened to the Lord. He would pass the test. He still stepped into the purpose next to Pharaoh. So it's really your choice. It's your choice. And so what we see out of the Bible is God showing us grace. Which choice will you take? Will you listen to my word over the relationships in your life? Or are you going to do your own thing? Chase the wrong relationships, things that won't fulfill you. As I was reading, though, God showed me one more thing that just stood out. Samson broke his vow to God by touching the lion's dead body. Okay, this was right after the Holy Spirit gave him great power, revealing, listen, he rebelled against God right after the Holy Spirit gave him great power to take down this lion, revealing that the true power of the Holy Spirit, true evidence of the Holy Spirit, it's not so much the power, but the fruit of the Spirit. The fruits. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and here it is, self-control. Everybody desires the power, the strength. Let me do the big things. But yet at the same time, some of these people don't know how to love. They don't have self-control, and they're not allowing the fruits of the Spirit to move through them. And so the purpose of this story is not to bring you down, but to make a point. God's purpose will always be fulfilled. Consider the story to be a story of grace. God is allowing you to see what can happen. What do you choose? What do you choose? I want to end with just a few steps right now. And again, this is still the beginning of the series. We're going to dive deeper and a lot more stories, a lot of different types of relationships as well. But right now, if you're struggling in one of these areas, if you're struggling with lust, if you're struggling with pride, if you're struggling pursuing the wrong relationships just because you don't want to be single in this moment, how do you get closer to God? The first step is you need to learn how to submit to God. Right? And I've said this before, that a lot of us have asked the Lord to be our Savior, but He's also going to be your Lord. And what does that mean? That means that He's Lord over your life. You're submitting to Him, His will over your will. Just because it looks good doesn't mean it's for you. But you trust that what He has for you is better in the end. The second thing is this. The Bible tells us clearly, flee from lust. Run away from it. Every time that lust is in front of you, don't play with it. Don't play with the fire. You can't contain it. You need to run. The third thing is this. Let Jesus take your thoughts captive. So when you have those intrusive thoughts, when the devil tries to get inside of your mind, because the mind, that's just where the devil plays his little battlefield, his little war games, his mental games, right? You take those thoughts and you make them see the real word of God. If I go after this relationship just because I have these feelings right now, my heart is eventually going to get broken. I know that God has something better for me. Show your thoughts the word of God. The last thing is this, forgive. In order to heal, you have to forgive. And that could be the hardest, could be the most difficult. But the Bible says that you have to forgive others in order for God to forgive you. And I truly believe that we can sometimes, with the Holy Spirit, we can quench the Holy Spirit because we're not allowing God to move with forgiveness through our life. And the reason you're having problems with the fruits of the Spirit is because you have too much hate in your heart. And right now it needs to be healed. You can let it go and give it over to God. And so in this moment, right now, what is it that you're dealing with? What is it that you're going through? And right now, we're about to have an altar call for you to be able to come up to the front and just meet with the Lord right now. Again, Jesus met with Samson's parents. He met them exactly where they were. And He's meeting you right now at this very moment.